I would like to welcome Eddie. This lady is like a secret weapon. She sneaks in under the radar, looking very innocent. So what a sweet, slightly more senior lady. And then she goes for her guns. I first met you at Ladies' Breakfast, and then I bumped into you at the Acorn Centre in Wecock Farm, and then here. So Eddie is somebody who stands with those who are in debt, and that is a scary place to be. And it's usually a place where you feel completely isolated and without hope. And this woman comes in and she brings hope to hopeless situations. And so I personally want to say thank you, because you stood with some of my friends, and that's awesome. And we want to hear what you have to say.
Got a lot to say.
You got a lot to say.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, everyone. My name's Edwina, but most of my friends call me Eddie. So thank you so much for inviting me here this morning. I do feel very at home, because I know some of you already, either through mutual friends like Anne, or through the Acorn Centre, or through the Pause and Pray for Havant once a month. And recently I was at the baptisms at Church of the Good Shepherd in Crookhorn, which is my home church, and what a wonderful time of celebration that was to share with you. So thank you. Thank you. So I'm here today to share about frontline debt advice. We're a Christian charity that's been quietly serving communities for around 30 years. We work mainly across central southern England, offering free, confidential and non-judgmental support to anyone struggling with their finances. We are licensed with the Financial Conduct Authority. We are funded by grants and donations from individuals and also churches. We have 14 branch offices across the south, including at Hayling Island and Petersfield, local to us. All our advisors are volunteers. We do this for the love of God, because he's called us to it. We have 2 part-time paid staff, an administrator who does all our legal stuff and our DBS checks and things, a part-time CEO who is also a branch manager and an advisor. You may have seen a recent report from CAP, Christians Against Poverty. It states that poverty in the UK has fallen by 3% since 1996. And that sounds really encouraging, doesn't it? But at the same report, it says that extreme poverty has risen by 14% in that same time. So that's not good. And you can see from the graph what that looks like. Fairly good news for poverty figures, but not so much for extreme poverty. Frontline can offer free help with simple things like budgeting and benefit applications. And of course, we help with debts, large and small. We aim to see most clients face to face at one of our centres. At Frontline, we do all the work ourselves from the start to finish, everything. Whatever the situation, we walk with people until they are back on their feet. It can be both challenging and rewarding. As a fellowship here, you are already standing with the men living at Beacon House, offering them stability and a home as they take small steps towards independent living. You understand how fragile life can become. And the truth is, it's frighteningly easy to fall into debt. This could be me on a bad day. I want you to imagine this. Someone loses their job either on health grounds or because of redundancy. It takes at least 6 weeks before a universal credit payment comes through. At least 6 weeks. In the meantime, you can take out an advance. Great. But the advance is then deducted from your monthly payment at around £60 a month. And that leaves one single person trying to survive on £360 a month. Imagine trying to pay all your monthly bills and have money left over for food, just £360 a month. Or imagine this scenario. Following a case of domestic violence, you move into Havant from somewhere in North Hampshire, leaving all your friends and family behind. You're on your own. You pay your rent to Portsmouth City Council. You ring them and ask about council tax, and they say, you don't owe us anything. But what they don't tell you is, you actually owe Havant Borough Council for your council tax, regardless of who or where your landlord is. This is most confusing. Then you sign up with Portsmouth Water, and you think, that's it, okay, sorted. Only to discover 6 months later that Southern Water, you're in arrears for the wastewater service. And the letters start arriving. Most of us are only 3 paydays away from going into debt. And debt escalates quickly. It gets bigger. Especially council tax. You miss one payment and you can be billed for the whole year, given 30 days just to pay that. That is cruel. Many people panic. Some bury their heads in the sand. Some decide to take out a loan or borrow from friends. Pretty soon they're in that awful cycle of borrowing and repaying, and often with higher interest rates. Some will dread the sound of the post coming each day. Council tax debts very quickly go to debt collectors, bailiffs, and they will send letters threatening to turn up on your doorstep and take away goods to the value of your debt. Some bailiffs will threaten you with forced bankruptcy or even a prison sentence. Let me tell you, as Anne's already said, this little old lady can hold off bailiffs with one email. Okay. And that reminds me of a well-known Bible story, David and Goliath. And every time I face a difficult challenge for my clients, I remember that I have a group of people back at COGS praying for me. Okay? Thank you, Lord. At Frontline, we would work with a client through every stage, but they always have the option to walk away at any time. And very seldom, but sometimes people do just walk away. They can't face it. We do not tell clients what to do. We just provide our recommendations for the best solution for them. There is no one size fits all. We would always leave someone with an affordable budget. We help them organise all their monthly bills so that the payment is taken on the day or soon after their monthly income arrives. This will give a clear picture of how much they have left for the rest of the month. We would also encourage them to open a savings account for those unexpected expenses, like when the washing machine breaks down. Okay, I have it here. There's a picture on the overhead there, in case you can't see it. Debt holds people captive. Frontline helps set them free. And I say that, but the reality is that it's God who enables us to do this work. Here is a picture of my ruler that's in my home office. I take it with me when I see clients. Frog, fully rely on God. It's my reminder. Even after nearly 5 years with Frontline, I need this reminder. It is not me, it is Him working through me. Thank you, Lord. So, why did I volunteer with Frontline? It's a bit like the testimony that Beth has just shared. One day, about 15 years ago, I was in the photocopy room at work, and there was a young lady in there in distress. And after I'd spoken to her and she shared with me, she said she'd got an appointment that evening with frontline debt advice because she was in terrible trouble with money and she was frightened to go. And I just said, well, I'll come with you. You know, I didn't know what to expect, but I thought, I'll come with you. Okay. I'll never forget the advisor's kindness as she took my friend's unopened bills, big bag full of bills, unopened. She said, leave these with me. Bring any new ones next time. You know, the relief on my friend's face was overwhelming. And over the following months, I watched her life transform. I knew then that once I retired from work, I wanted to serve in this way for God. 15 years later, I finally got the opportunity. I volunteered in Southampton for almost 2 years before David and I, with God's help, moved to Crookhorn. And 2.5 years ago, I was encouraged to start a branch here covering Waterlooville. And through the partnership between Frontline and COGS, we have now supported more than 25 clients in the 2.5 years. One client last year told me they were in an extreme state of anxiety when a court judgment letter arrived in the post. That was the moment they reached out for help. It took 6 months to sort everything for them, and many more debts were uncovered along the way. But they stuck with it, and they are now living with hope again. Since then, we have seen that person change from always being anxious and self-focused to someone who is willing to help others in the community. That is God at work, transforming lives. It's the best thing about this work. All we need now for that person is to pray them into the kingdom of God. It's a work in progress. We're still doing that. It's a real privilege to do this work. And with God on our side, it's amazing what can be achieved. Sometimes we have to go at a slower pace than we'd like. The client may be suffering with their mental health, and it can become a vicious circle of debt problems and mental health as one feeds into the other. So we have to go carefully. For some clients, freedom comes through bankruptcy. We do all of that at Frontline. And for others, it's a debt relief order. We also do that. For others, it's a simple repayment plan. Whatever the route, we walk with them until they are safe and debt-free and able to manage on their income going forward. It's no good cancelling people's debts or helping them repay them, but then they can't manage month by month. This is one of the best feedbacks that I think I've received in the last couple of years. One client said to me, or said in a feedback survey, when I first reached out for help, I was severely in debt and had already lost everything. I was anxious, worried, and scared. Frontline COGS helped me sort through my finances, and the weight that lifted from my shoulders that day was immense. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People come to us at their lowest point, and we get to see them set free with a new and affordable budget and a future that they can breathe in. God is good. Yes. So, how can you get involved? At COGS, I have a group of 15 people offering invaluable prayer support for me and my clients every month. We also have a group who donate a regular amount monthly to support the partnership cost between COGS and Frontline. And that is wonderful. And there's always room for more people to pray or more people to give. But what we really need now is more advisors. On my own, I can only see around 8 to 10 clients a year. Not all of those have debts. Each debt client can take up to 8 months of work, so I can only juggle two of those at a time alongside budgeting help, benefit claims. One additional advisor would be great. Two or more advisors would be fantastic, because I'm not in the habit of limiting what God can do. Hallelujah. So, could this be you? Is God stirring something in your heart right now? Are you reasonably comfortable, confident with numbers? Can you help someone build a simple budget? Can you plug figures into an Excel spreadsheet and understand income versus expenditure? Would you like to come and see what it's like to help someone who is struggling with their finances? Our ethos is to provide regular mentoring and training for all new advisors, and initially they would sit alongside me and they would learn as we went along. The initial training is just 4 whole days spread over a year. 4 days over a year. We receive regular updates and training sessions, and there are plenty of experienced advisors that we can talk to, either on the phone or by email. Every situation is different, but our support network is excellent. There's a verse from 1 Peter chapter 4. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. We don't all have the same gifts, but we all have something to offer. How are you using your gifts? My favourite word at the moment is kindness. The Archbishop of Canterbury, in her inaugural speech last summer, said, "Kindness has the ability to heal the world." And I believe that. Do you? If God has given you a nudge and you'd like to find out more about setting people free from debt, come and find me after the service. I have a stand at the back there with information on. Do come and chat to me, even if you're just interested slightly. Okay. I'd like to share this song with you. I don't know if we have it. We have the song Kindness. Kindness is one of the gifts of the Spirit, and I only realised that a few months ago, to be honest, because you skip over the ones that you think you've already got and you just pray for the ones you haven't got, like patience springs to mind. Kindness is a gift of the Spirit. So if God has given you a nudge and you'd like to see what it's like to set people free, come and find me after the service. In this song, it says clearly that we forgive because we have been forgiven ourselves. We love because of his great love for us. He is Almighty God of heaven, King over all the earth, and yet he knew us and he loved us before we were even born. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening.
I'm going to give a brief history first of Open Home and what we're going to be talking about. And then I will hand over to Louis and Katie. So Open Home started a few years ago, and it actually was unplugged to start with. I don't know if any of you would remember that, but it started as unplugged. It then changed to Open Home. And that came from a vision that God gave me in 2017. And the main part of that vision was to have somewhere open during the week, for anyone to come in and for everyone to feel welcome. So we prayed about that. We pray about all the groups we do. We don't go by good ideas. So we make sure that God's in the middle of that, and God's actually asking us to do it before we step into that. We had a Holy Spirit day, I think about a week ago. And before we came to that in the morning, God prompted Chris to listen to a word that was given to the church in 2017 by Donna Leppett. I'm going to read that out. It is 3 pages long, so please bear with me. But it's important because there's a lot of stuff as a church that we do, not just the groups, but our heart, how we are, that even though that's 9 years old, that still carries on through. And, sorry?
Relevant.
Yeah, relevant. And it's very exciting. So I feel the Lord wants to encourage you as a body of people this morning. And I was waiting, as I was waiting on the Lord for a word for you, I felt there was one phrase that kept coming to mind about you that's on God's heart for you. You are a people of power, a people of power. I feel that some of you need to catch that in your spirits this morning, because that word power is quite frightening. We find it hard to believe. But God is saying that you are a people of power, that he has put his spirit in each one of you. What he has done is that he has prepared you and made a place for you to be in at this time and season. I feel that God is saying you are a people who know how to deliver. You are a people who know how to set the captives free, how to break chains off of people. I saw these chains and they were big and grey and powerful, but there was nothing that you could stop these chains from being broken, because you carry the presence. You carry the power of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is on your lips. Through your walk with him, through your steadfastness and your faithfulness and your commitment to him, you know how to break these chains. I just felt that God was saying that you are not passive by any means. As a body of people, you hold nothing back. You are a passionate people, you are tenacious, you are strong, you are disciplined, and you are committed. And when you see something, you go after it. I felt the Lord wanted to honour you for what you do, for how you just remain faithful and you remain strong, and he's done a great work in this place. But it hasn't been for the faint-hearted. There are some who have moved away, some who just couldn't keep up the pace, some who were not willing to lay down their lives as you have done. I felt Father wanted to bless you and honour you for the lives that have been laid down, for you have been sacrificial in your lifestyle, that you've been willing to count the cost, that you've been willing to lay everything down and be fully committed to the purposes of the kingdom of heaven here in this place. I felt that Father was saying that nothing is ever wasted. Those times that you have laid before him or prayed before him or waited on him, that those times that he has equipped you and that he has resourced you and prepared you in those secret places. I felt that Father was saying that you are people who have just gone looking for treasures, looking for that pearl of great price, that you've been willing to look to see the gold in people, look to see what God is doing, that you've been willing to purchase a field or a pearl, as in Matthew. But God is saying that this is not the pearl that is precious, but it's the person who is looking for the pearl. He is saying that you are people who have humbled themselves, who have been willing to seek after the kingdom, to seek after his presence, to seek after him, and he is saying it is so valuable. I see your hearts, I see your kindness, your tenderness, I see the way you're willing to posture yourselves in seeking and yearning after me. God is saying, I love that about you. I love the fact that you are looking for the gold. You're looking for that pearl. You're looking for the treasure in people. And I say, see, there is something even about the name, the beacon and the lighthouse, that you are a place where people come, and also a place where you are willing to go and search, willing to look for the lost and look for the needy. And God is saying that you have my heart, and I am willing to trust you with those people, because I know that you're not going to hurt or damage them, but what you're going to do is add value to them. I see that there's this warm embrace that you have, a warm welcome that you have, where you clearly have your doors open to the community and that you're willing to bring the people in. But I feel that the Father is saying is what he wants to do is open up whole areas and avenues for you in the area of community and the area of domesticity and home life. I felt that God was going to bless you even in your midweek or home groups, that in these God was going to knit your relationships together, that he was going to bring you together, that there's going to be a bond that will be ever greater than before, and that God just wants to bring you together. He wants you to do life well together. It's not just about meetings on a Sunday for an hour or so. It's about doing life together in the week, hanging out together, having meals together, having fellowship together. God is wanting to bless you as a community where you feel you belong. Because when you feel you belong together, people will come because they can see that, and they will get this sense that they've come home. So I feel that God is going to bless these groups and bless your relationships. There's going to be an increase, I feel, in how you do life well together. I felt there were going to be 5 different streams that are going to come out of your midweek groups where you come together, you seek after his presence, and you go after things. And God is going to give you strategies and vision. He is going to encourage you to do things together as groups, those who you meet together with in the week. I felt that there were 5 groups that God's hand is on, not as a command, but as an invitation. God is saying he wants to bless the way you do life together, and that you begin to grab hold of and own things together and work together in unity and purpose. I felt these different groups that were going to come out of these groups. One of them was a knitting group. It was Knit and Chatter, a place where people come together just to talk as they become creative in their craft. And it wasn't just for your groups or people who like to knit, but it was a way you would invite the community to come in and share and fellowship together and begin to have community together. So I felt God was wanting to bless a group that gathered just to do something like that. I also felt God wanted to bless a poetry group. I felt you were going to go into the community, a pub or wherever, and people would come together to share their poetry. They would stand in front of everyone and read a poem, and everyone would celebrate the gifting and quality of creativity on your lives. But again, it would be open to the community as a way of just bringing people in, and non-Christians can come and share their poetry as well, a celebration of the gifting on people's lives. Then an art group, a similar theme, where people can come together to be creative in art and do all sorts of creative things that are a way of including non-Christians who come in and be part of your group. Because when they see how well you do life together, they will feel that they belong and want to be part of this. It's a way of reaching out to people. I also saw a food group where people come together and are creative in the way they bake, the way they prepare meals, and even talking about nutrition and doing life well. A group that comes together where either they have prepared the food or they prepare it together, but all of it was to taste and see that the Lord is good. Again, I felt it was so that you could draw other people in from the community to see how well you do life together. The final group was a games group, and that was just having fun together, and it was with board games, with party games, just a place of fun and fellowship where people can come in and it will be contagious to see the joy that's on your hearts. I just felt it was doing life well together, exploring what it is to have fun with Jesus. I felt God just wanted to home in on this because he wants you to be intentional to share your resources, to share what he has done in your lives and how he has prepared you for this time, but for you to be outward facing. I know you already do a great work in the food bank and having a heart to be in the community, and so I feel that God has seen what you have done and he wants you to shift and go up to a higher level, because what you carry in the anointing on your lives is something that people out there want. People want to see Christians having fun. They want to see people who are having a good time, because although they can have a good time, they want something you are carrying, the Holy Spirit. They want the presence of God. They're yearning for something they don't know exists, and it's your job to tell them. So I felt the Holy Spirit was wanting to bless and ordain just the enrichment of your life together. But I felt his delight was in you so much that this was going to produce a fruit in the body, and that you have sown and now you are reaping. I see this large number that is coming, where there will be grandparents and families, mums and dads, sons and daughters, and the in-laws, just more and more people coming to be part of what you do and who you are. As they come, even for the first time, that they'll be saying things like, I feel this place is like home. I really feel I belong. So it starts with you all wanting to belong together, to be part of life together. I know this is what God is doing here already, but as that increases and momentum builds, it's not going to be hard for people to step over the threshold and say, wow, I'm going to stay here. This is what I have been looking for. God just wants to bless that. I felt there was an ease that was going to come in your lives together of fun, fellowship and freedom. So it comes back to the chains that I saw were being ripped off. And this is how you are. Those who will take the kingdom by force. You are not faint-hearted. You go after people and are determined to press in for the prize, which is Jesus himself. I felt that as you keep pressing in, as you set those captives free, as you deliver them from oppression, and you see those victories, that it leads you to a place of coming into his presence again and again and again, because that is the ultimate prize, the presence of Jesus. I felt that Jesus is going to be increasing in your midst. I know that was long. If anyone wants a copy, then please ask, we'll get one sorted for you. But the important thing is this is still happening. It's still ongoing and it's encouraging because, you know, if you look back over history and see where we are here today, it's still happening. So I'm going to pass over to Katie and Louis and they can talk about Open Home a bit more.
Okay. Well, so that's where the ideas come from. And now, years later, we've got a good community coming in. People from schools and mums with their young children all coming in and being comfortable around each other, enjoying each other's time, and we want to continue to increase that and make it so much nicer and invite more people in, and for that we are going to need some more help. So that's fine. I have had a lot of ideas for what I would like to happen. So making more time for the group. So we go for an hour and a quarter, but I feel that's not enough time for people to truly get what they need out of it. Because you've got people, students coming from further out schools, because we mostly get kids from Warblington, which is very close. And then we've got a lot of people that will show up at the last minute because they don't have enough time. So we want to increase the amount of time that we've got so they can come in and enjoy it just like everyone else. And we want to bring... So we've got all our tables put out. So we've got drawing, table games, all that sort of stuff. People, like, just table to come chill out or just sit on your own, do whatever you want. But we want to find some more things to draw more people in, more table games, if we can find those, that is, because they're a bit tricky. But yeah, for all of this to happen, we need some more people to be that are able to give a bit of time on a Monday, 3:15 till 4:30, maybe long, maybe till 5:00 if we're able to. Do you want to?
A lot of the things we have in Open Home is we try to do various activities that are suitable for all ages, all walks of life. We're getting a lot of different people coming in. We're getting children, we're getting adults, we're getting people with disabilities and learning difficulties, we're getting toddlers, and one of the things we like to do is some kind of cooking craft sometimes, but we're limiting it to in the room when we do it at the moment because we need a bit more people to be able to run it in the kitchen as well. One of the vision started off Open Home was with Karen's vision of open door for the community to come in and just be welcomed and at home. And it just kind of keeps in vision with the church of loving God, to be loved by him, demonstrating the love of up to everyone who comes in. And we've had some challenges. We've had some amazing conversations. We've had people come to Open Home and then join the church and come to events and stuff like that. So we would really appreciate some more help going forward, because the group is changing a bit. But not just about help, but you should try and come and see what the group does, because for the people that come in, it just, there's something about it. They just enjoy it. People have changed themselves and stuff like that in the group, and found new hobbies, made new friendships. Someone made a connection with a new driving instructor and passed their test, and you know, it's just stuff like that. It's all part of the community of it, and it'd be good for you to experience it, basically. I'm not sure.
I did forget to add, this is partly why we were talking about this today as well. Me and Chris are actually stepping away from Open Home because we just need to free up time. And obviously we've been part of this group from the get-go, so it's not been an easy decision. But we know that's where God's led us. So with me and Chris stepping out, obviously that's two people down every week. So Louis and Katie definitely need that support. Simon is part of the team as well, fortnightly. So they really need some people that can do it regularly rather than sporadically each week, if possible. Thank you.
So this is, again, not a good idea. This is something we believe God has asked us to do for the community. So we are learning in its development and growing. And we've noticed that when we started the group... good music. When we started the group, we cropped it down and we shortened it and we changed the shape of it, and then we were then prompted, what did God say? And then we then did what God said, and then people started to gather and to come. And so what we want to do, we believe this is the next stage to launch a new welcome room. No, Open Home. Open Home, and Louis's taking a bit of a point on this. He's actually got this passion and heart to step out, because God's called him to work with the community. When you ask Louis what do you want to do, he wants to work with people. That's his heart. And so we want to see not only the group develop, but this man develop and grow. And so we want to be able to support him in the vision that we believe God's put in his heart, and to gather around it. And you may just be there for a time. You may be there just for, I don't know, 6 months or a year. Well, that's okay, because Louis's got a heart and passion just to see where this goes. And if you can only do a year, that's fine. It just gives them that element of lift to say, okay, I can give you this amount of time. It's okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Cool. Sounds good, doesn't it? And the way it fits in with that prophecy from 9 years ago?
Yep.
Yeah. It's good. Donna, would you like to start the video now? Thank you.
Over the last 20 plus years, Beacon Food Bank has seen incredible growth. From its humble beginnings as a few tins in a cupboard under the sink, to a registered charity that provides essential support to thousands of families in the Havant Borough every year. Born from a passion to ensure those in need receive the highest standard of love, care and support, and not just the leftovers, that passion has remained within our very DNA and is the heartbeat behind all of the work continued to this day. The Beacon Food Bank aims to serve all those in genuine need of food support in the Havant Borough and surrounding areas. We operate from Monday to Friday from 10 till 12:30 for referrals via phone or email, and 10:30 till 1 for collections. Helping people from all walks of life in all sorts of circumstances, we receive referrals from a wide range of organisations, including Citizens Advice, Children's Services, local schools and doctor's surgeries, to treatment centres, homeless organisations, domestic abuse charities and refugee centres. In the last year alone, we've helped over 3,500 individuals, with over 62% of this being adults aged 19 plus in single adult households, and nearly a quarter of all hampers going to families of 3 to 4 people. With a volunteer team of 20, we pack and sort all donations and deliveries in our unit within the Meridian Centre. Hampers are packed by our standardised list and filled according to each of the 3 hamper sizes. solo for single-person households, small for families of up to 4 people, and large for families of 4+. They are then transported to the small hall where they are placed into our stock buckets in the back room. This is where all extras are added to hampers before handing them out. These include bread and milk added to all hampers, with eggs and butter added to larger hampers. Fresh fruit and veg is also added to all hampers, which is bought from the local market every week. Other extras include toiletries, pet food, baby food and nappies, detergent and sanitary products. The majority of these items are still supplied via donations, so we only offer these when available due to unpredictable stock and demand. After everything is added, they are then handed out to clients in the lounge. Beacon Lounge is our main hub for clients and referrers to collect the hampers. Hampers can be collected in here between 10:30 to 1 from Monday to Friday. This setup allows clients to be in a calm and welcoming space during what is usually a vulnerable and trying time for them. The lounge allows them a space to open up to our staff if needed, as well as enjoy a free tea or coffee afforded by a pay it forward scheme, also known as suspended coffees. We are proud to have this space as our hub where hampers are collected, as it furthers our heart to see them cared for as well as provided for, and not just seen as another number or statistic on a chart. The food bank historically has been able to rely mostly on donations, but as things like COVID and the cost of living crisis hit, we've needed to buy more stock from wholesalers, supermarkets and local shops to keep the contents and quantity of our hampers consistent. We receive most of our food donations through our 5 main collection points in the area: Havant Asda, Tesco, Waitrose, the Co-op in Emsworth and our own Beacon Lounge. We also receive financial and food donations through a number of organisations and individuals throughout the year. We have been successful in receiving several grants in the last year, as well as being involved in a number of fundraising events in supermarkets, within the Meridian Centre, and through partnerships with other organisations throughout the year. Spreading awareness of our services is just as important as fundraising. Supermarket stalls, media coverage, and our relationship with other food banks and pantries in the area has helped us reach those people in need who may not have known we're here, and has helped spread the message that no one should be ashamed to reach out for the help. All of this is what makes the Beacon Food Bank, and we are privileged to be a part of the solution to food poverty in our local community, and to be a kind face to those who need it. I believe it is truly a testament to what can be achieved from a dream to love others well, and a willingness to put it into action.
Awesome. So, I think today was just to give an insight into what we actually do, wasn't it, really? Yeah. As well as sharing with you what we do and the heart for the church, it was also to make you aware of some of the places where we may need help. Yeah? So where, if you're able to, like Chris picked up Louis because he's ready, yeah, to step up and do what needed. So we just need other people like Louis. You don't have to look like Louis, just have a heart like Louis's got. Yeah? Love you, Louis.